on, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia!
Romelu Chiesa now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elis! Albert Elis! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Well, this is good to be back on the air live. We did a bunch of bests of in recent times, so this is a really good feeling to be back on live here tonight. Got a lot of contributions from producer Andrew Carlson in getting things together for the show. But our man Trey is going to step in for Andrew tonight. Trey, thank you for stepping in tonight and stepping up.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So here's what we got on this show tonight. We got a great show. Megan Rapinoe, you know her, Trey. I know you're very familiar with the Ballon d'Or winner, the number one female soccer player in the world.
She's in town
with the U.S. Women's National Team. She'll be on the show. And we will have her on probably at the bottom of the hour. Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan also will join the show tonight. We're going to talk about new signings, transfer window, a number of different topics with him. We're going to get a little bit of a take from him as a former goalkeeper on Marko Maric, the Dynamo signing in goal. Tremendous interview tonight with Oliver Luck of the XFL. But you remember Oliver Luck helping launch the Houston Dynamo when San Jose was moved here. He is with the XFL now. The interview with Oliver is a sports interview, talking about his career, his son Andrew. It was an interview that also will include Houston Dynamo talk and a number of different things. So this is one you're not going to want to miss. That will be a part of the show here tonight. So, again, our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. And hope you enjoyed our recent look back again at these best of interviews from 2019. Tonight, we're back fresh. We're live. And we're going to hit this hard here tonight. And Trey is a big NASCAR guy. We are not going to talk Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt tonight. I'm very sorry, Trey. But we will cross over at some point in the future. We are talking Liverpool. We're talking Manchester United. I was out at Dynamo training this past Monday. We'll get some sound from there. Again, the U.S. Women's National Team is in town, the current World Cup holders, Olympic qualifying, taking on Haiti, Panama, and Costa Rica. That is CONCACAF Women's qualifying for Tokyo 2020. Premier League talk, international talk. Phone lines are going to be open throughout the show, 713-780-3776. Want to get some takes from some of you tonight, whether it's Premier League, whether it's Dynamo, how you're feeling about the upcoming MLS season. Chicharito to the LA Galaxy is going to be monster for Major League Soccer. And we remind you, we stream at ESPN975.com. Presenting sponsor again, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Ably supported by Advantage BMW Midtown, our good friends Justin down there, and Philip, and of course, Hugh O'Connor's, which will be packed tomorrow afternoon when Liverpool take on Wolves. So let me go to something very current here today. If you watched this, you saw Manchester United, another poor performance. They go out 2-0 to Burnley at home. It's track 27 here, Trey, and this is how Chris Wood would put Burnley up 1-0.
One by me, Wood! That is a cracking finish! And Burnley score first at Old Trafford again!
So Burnley goes up 1-0. It's a header that's knocked down, and Wood hits it off the turn. This is a United team that is incredibly youthful. It's without Marcus Rashford. Houston Red Army, if you're out there tonight, let's get some of your thoughts on this. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, after this game, I felt bad for this guy. I mean, I'm concerned about his health. He did not look good physically. He looks like he's aging in front of our eyes. Here is number 29, Trey. Here's something from Solskjaer on not getting the game's first goal.
Lately, we've played better in these types of games where we've dominated. Today, we didn't get the first goal, and it seemed like that took lots of the belief out of us. And you've got to say that Burnley do do make it hard to play against them then. So we're stretched, of course. The players are disappointed in there, but they've given absolutely everything again because the effort's there.
I do feel for the man because United fans are coming down on him in a very, very big way.
Yeah,
everybody,
rabid.
They are rabid. There's no question about that. And the other thing that's happening here is, you know, everybody's pointing to Mauricio Pochettino, but is that really going to solve things? Would he even take the job unless he's assured that there's going to be some funds placed in getting some more experienced, established, and I would have to say stars to mix in here. Harry Maguire, big money spent for him. I'm not sure he's living up to it either. It's a very, very young team. It's a young team that needs some mentors and older players to mix in to nurture some of these younger players. Here's how Burnley gets goal number two. This is Soundbite 28, Trey.
Wood. Rodriguez! Oh! Screamer! Wow, he flashed that in! De Gea could barely twitch! Burnley have a two-goal advantage in front of the Stretford end.
More from the manager, Gunnar Solskjaer. Here's Ollie. This is Soundbite 30.
Well, I'm in charge of him, so it's down to me to get these boys going. Of course, on the pitch, you pointed out a few leaders there, and on the flip side, it's young players experiencing this. The expectations, it's a difficult period. It's a hard period for them.
So as you know, a lot of the great Manchester United players who enjoyed so much success under Sir Alex Ferguson, they're weighing in a lot. And, you know, some of them are very calculated in what they say. Others like Gary Neville are out there really hitting it hard. Here's Rio Ferdinand on what he said post-match, the former Manchester United center back.
£600 million spent on the squad. On what? I don't see it out there. I don't see that money, the recruitment, what has been bought. There's nothing there that suggests to me that this is going to be something that's laying down the foundation for future. I'm sitting up here, if I'm honest, I'm embarrassed. It's embarrassing to be here, the way that the team is, not just about the team performing, but I don't see what's coming next. I don't see a pathway. I don't see a target being set on the wall and said we're going to get to that and this is how we're going to get there. I just don't see it from the recruitment. Put today this result to one side. I'm talking the recruitment and the actual building of a squad, the foundations that are being put in place for this squad now to go on and challenge at some point. Not immediately, but we're realistic, in a couple of years maybe, build that squad. But money's been spent willy-nilly the last 7 years. What's to show for it here? I don't see what's there. I mean, you can't defend this. And I mean, what has been invested? You've seen shirts. These young kids now in the schools around the country, they're not going to be wearing Man United shirts. They're not going to be wanting to come in and support Man United based on what you're seeing out there. It's just not going to happen. Fans are walking out after 84 minutes. It's an embarrassment. People at the top need to look and see this and actually make changes. Put a plan in place that people can actually sit there and go, actually, I can see where we're going now. I don't see it.
Ed Woodward is what we go to. Ed Woodward has made a lot of soccer decisions. There's been some bad buys, no question, under Jose Mourinho. And by the way, we do have to give some credit to Burnley going into Old Trafford and getting the win. But wow, these are tough times for Manchester United. And you wonder if European money not qualifying for either the Champions League or the Europa League, once that happened, is that the thing that moves the needle here? But there have been bad buys when it comes to players, and it's a very youthful team. And when you have a very youthful team, there is no question you have to give room to certain players to make mistakes and learn and grow. And that's tough and fine line to straddle. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, after watching the game today, he was getting very much pushed by the interviewer, and he was getting very much pushed to say, hey, has the club said they're going to spend more money? And he could not answer it, did not want to answer it. So I don't know what that means. But talking about Rio Ferdinand and those very strong comments there, you have to say that you know, the footballing side of it, who's helping to make the decisions? And is it really just strictly Solskjaer that we should be focused on? 713-780-3776 is a number. Houston Sports Awards last night. Unbelievable. who's who last night in Houston sports history. Tremendous honoring. Mary Lou Retton, unbelievable. Carl Lewis, Rudy Tomjanovich. And believe it or not, the room was stolen when Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys came up and talked about Bob McNair. He owned the room. It was unbelievable. Great table I was at. We had Van Chancellor, the former Houston Comets.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Beasley, the four-time World Cupper. We had a lot of fun. Bobby Boswell was there. Brian Ching, the legendary Manchester United author Tom Clare came in from Louisiana. Van Chancellor's son-in-law. So it's a great night. I got to tell you, Patty Smith, the Houston Sports Authority, they get tremendous kudos. This was an event that this flowed like a wonderful Liverpool counterattack. This thing just flowed last night. And it was one of those events that you kind of, you left and you go, man, I wish we could stay here longer. And, you know, some of these events sometimes really drag on and you kind of want to get out of there. And but this was streamlined. This was put together beautifully. You know, there you can just go on and on the names in the room. Otis Thorpe, Roger Clemens, all kinds of people in this room, Houston sports. Tom Telez, the great track coach, was up there with Carl Lewis. It is spectacular, the history that we have when it comes to soccer. They did run a little thing on the World Cup 2026 bid. The only problem I have with that, they could not pronounce Bayern Munich, which is a no-no when you're trying to attract authentic soccer fans.
But did they say Bayer Munchen?
The first part of it was probably right, Trey, but it did jump out to me. It may not have jumped out to other people, but they did do a nice World Cup 2026, bid piece, which really extolled a lot of the virtues of us as a soccer city in Houston. So that was great. But Janice, everybody at the Houston Sports Authority, boy, do you deserve tremendous credit for what was an amazing, amazing and very fun evening. And I'll tell you what, the people that got their awards and went up, they were inspirational, really inspirational. Young man in a wheelchair. Name escapes me right now. He was incredibly powerful in what he had to say. He's on the Alabama wheelchair basketball team. Tremendous young man. J.J. Watt came out and introduced him. So it was really amazing night. Makes you very much prideful around Houston sports and the wonderful history that we do have here. And we do have a lot of soccer history, and we got to get better at telling that story. But we will in the future. All right, we got some sound from Tab Ramos. We got sound from Matt Jordan. Arsenal 2-2 with Chelsea. Did that with 10 men. That was a great result for them. The 18-year-old Gabriel Martinelli getting a goal in that one. We do have some of that sound, but we are going to take a quick break here right now. And by the way, again, this show is presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So you guys know AC/DC. I love picking the music for this show, Trey. And I know you're kind of wishing you could have put something in. I may give you a wild card on music tonight. I may.
Hey, I'm sounds good.
But you like AC/DC, right?
Yeah. AC/DC's good. Angus Young, one of the best guitarists of all time, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, I like him.
All right. So rock and roll makes good sense. We're going to take a break here. Show's presented by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Yeah. Welcome back to Soccer Matters. That's Zoe, the Grammy Award-winning and Latin Grammy Award-winning Mexican rock band. I've always liked that song. Mexico City band. Big success in a lot of Spanish-speaking countries. So welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. And, of course, this is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So Dynamo preseason training started Monday. And, by the way, we'll have Dynamo general manager Matt Jordan on the show a little bit later on. We're expecting Megan Rapinoe of the U.S. Women's National Team. They are in town for three games. So you got a shot at seeing the world champions, ussoccer.com. This will be exciting having them based in Houston here for their Olympic qualifying. They're going to start with Haiti on the 28th. The 31st, they'll take on Panama. And then February 3rd, Costa Rica under the new manager, Vlatko Andonovski. So a lot of interesting things going on with the women's national team. And, you know, quickly off winning the Women's World Cup, it's right back to business with the huge and very important Olympics in Tokyo. Monday, the Dynamo started out under their new head coach, Top Ramos. Very excited about him being in this market. Here is soundbite number one, Top Ramos, on the Dynamo winning culture and being a part of it. Okay, I think we're having some trouble here. I think the computer's freezing up here. But anyway, the Dynamo, you know, are certainly looking to refresh things. They've made some changes here. We're going to go player by player with Matt Jordan a little bit later on. And we're going to get his thoughts on the five differing signings that have come in. Victor Cabrera, center back from the Montreal Impact. Zarek Valentin, who's was from the Portland Timbers. So that's going to be quite a battle at the right back position between Valentin and then, of course, Jose Bezama, the Chilean, who came in late last year and still has something to prove, I think. Then you've got the signing of Marcelo Palomino. And, you know, how much playing time could he potentially get? He's a very talented player. Tab Ramos knows him from the under-20 national team. So a lot going on there with his potential this year and his ability to get minutes. And then you've got, and Dynamo fans, you got to get realistic here. Your designated player, your big signing is Darwin Quintero, Club America, Santos Laguna, acquired from Minnesota United. The scientific goal scorer. El Scientifico, I think, is what that what they call it. Where's Victor Ariza when you need him? Mobile. Attacks. I want to see how this is going to be put together. I think this is very interesting for the fan. Whether it's a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3, Top Ramos has leaned on the 4-3-3. It seems to be his setup of that he likes. And if it's a lineup that includes if Albert Elise is not transferred, and if Mauro Manotas is not transferred, but if Elise isn't transferred, Darwin Quintero, you know, those are guys that might have to buy into doing more work when the ball's lost. So that's going to be interesting. 713-780-3776 is a number. Excited, optimistic about the upcoming Dynamo season in 2020. What are your thoughts? 713-780-3776. So El Batallón, Texian Army, Surge, supporters out there of the Houston Dynamo, have your say. 713-780-3776. That is the number. I could tell you Matt Jordan is pleased with the offseason. He feels the team has gotten younger. We've heard some of these things. And the transfer window is going to close at the end of the month. So there you have it. All right, so let's go, Trey, to soundbite number one, Tab Ramos.
Obviously, I'm a very determined coach. I'm one that, you know, accepts nothing but the best from the players on the field. And maybe that's a culture that I've brought from having with the youth national teams, you know, that type of winning culture. At the same time, this is already a winning club. Maybe the last few years haven't been exactly what the fans wanted, but I think this is a club with a winning culture, and I'm just happy to be part of it. As far as I know, I like the team we have. So, I mean, I'm not expecting anything at this point. Obviously, Marco is not here, our goalkeeper, so we're waiting for him to come once all the paperwork is done. But other than that, I just really go one day at a time. I've said from the beginning that I came to this club because I felt like there were good players here already, so I'm really happy with what's here.
Yeah, it's exciting with Tab here, and I think one thing that we have to really understand here with Tab Ramos here is that hope and possibility now becomes bigger for the young player. No question. I think last year it was a struggle for players, and I think some players got in the doghouse of the manager. No need to go back there, but I don't think this was handled very well. And I think with Tab Ramos, you're going to have a leader. Excuse me. You're going to have an inspirational leader. You're going to have a man who has a definitive plan, and you're going to have a man that's going to demand a lot out of players. Favors the 4-3-3 system. You know, the only thing you're going to say about Tab is it's his first time as a coach running sessions and doing it, you know, full long-term on a daily basis. That's what an MLS coach has to do. But look, if there was a guy ever ready for this opportunity, and this is what I love about the fact that, like, Tab Ramos is getting the job. Claudio Reyna is a sporting director up the road in Austin FC. These are guys that have done their time now. They're not just guys on their name saying, hey, I deserve a job because I'm Tab Ramos or I'm Claudio Reyna. Certainly that opens the door. But Tab Ramos has done the work with little kids, youth soccer, all the way up to taking the under-20 national team, doing wonderful things with them. So if there was ever a guy that checks all the boxes heading into getting a coaching job at MLS, it's him. And I think in the early years, this is what you wanted. As time goes by, you want those guys that are ambitious to be in the coaching positions, to be sporting directors, to be in the front office of teams. And they can't be there just on name alone. They can't be there just to be the former player, Tab Ramos. Tab Ramos probably doesn't even want to talk about that. He's going to rely on his experiences. It's all about him as a coach now. He's beyond that. He's not living in the past as a soccer player. He would not have this job. He would not have gotten the under-20 national team job and have been as successful as he has. Now, here's Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan Monday with the offseason and what's going on. That's number four.
We're always looking to add new players. I mean, the work's never done. We're really happy with how the offseason went. Obviously, adding Darwin Quintero was a big addition this offseason. And then Marco Maric, who we just purchased from Hoffenheim, we think is going to be a real important addition to the team. Trades for Victor Cabrera and Zarek Valentin, as well as signing Marcelo Palomino, a local homegrown player from our academy. So we're really pleased with the way this offseason went, and there's just a lot of really good energy and excitement around the club right now.
Jordan went on to talk about the importance of involving youth, and youth will be involved with Tab Ramos here because he is going to give opportunity, whether it's in training or ultimately in games, to younger players. I don't think there's any question. That's soundbite number five.
What's really important, and this is what's been important in bringing Tab on board, is he's a very good fit for our club and the plan that we're putting in place. And really important for us as well is to have vertical integration from our academy to our USL team to our first team. And we really believe in this city, and we believe in the young players coming up. And, you know, I have to acknowledge all the hard work of our academy staff and Paul Holliker as well. And so it's just very rewarding for all of us. And it's a collective decision to bring these players into training to see where they're at. I mean, look, it's like anything. You never know where a young player is till he gets a chance. And so we're really excited to see these guys. And even today, to see a couple of academy players score in training was really rewarding.
Yeah, not many young players did get chances in the past. That's for sure. Memo Rodriguez is one. Alejandro Fuenmayor last year got frozen out. I think something happened there with the manager. So he missed some vital opportunity, to get minutes in games and accelerate his development. And he's going to be in a battle now with Victor Cabrera to play next to Kiki Struna in the center back position. It's interesting times. I'm really excited about the upcoming season. I'm optimistic about it, but the reality is it's a team that has missed the playoffs numerous times and is looking for a turnaround, and I think they're going to get tremendous inspiration and knowledge from a new coach, and that's exciting. If anything happens in the rest of this transfer window, I'm not sure we know if that's going to happen. At this point, I don't know. I'm very interested to see what's going to happen to Albert Elise, because 25% of a transfer fee is still owned by Monterey. So it's very interesting, and I don't know where his value lies right now. He has broken out of the gates, just like the team, on fire. And then they hit, you know, June, and then there's a bit of a downward spiral that we've seen the last two seasons. So looking for consistency from Albert Elise this year. We know he's capable of the spectacular. You got some good front players with Ramirez and Minotas if he stays. The addition of Darwin Quintero, Memo Rodriguez. So as Tab Ramos said, there are some good pieces. But, you know, the general consensus I get from Dynamo fans, by the way, it's 713-780-3776, is that you're expecting, you know, a bigger name player. You got to drop that. It's Darwin Quintero this year. Unless there's something I don't know. It's Darwin Quintero, and that's a guy that scored a lot of goals for Club America, goals in Azteca Stadium, and for Santos Laguna, and won titles. And he's exciting. And he has scored against the Dynamo in the past, so he's on our side now. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. I'm going to give it to you again because it's 713-780-3776. Tomorrow, it is Liverpool and Wolves at Molineux. That is going to be a tough game, and I'm making a prediction on this show that Liverpool is going to get a blemish to their record tomorrow. They're going to get either a draw or a shocking first loss this year in the Premier League. That is a difficult team to play against. Raul Jimenez and Wolves went into Anfield and only lost 1-0 earlier in the year. Jimenez is coming off a two-goal game. He is the Mexican international that certainly everybody's very excited about. So, not to be bagging on my great friends at the Liverpool supporters group, but that's my prediction. You can catch it at Hugh O'Connor's Pub. Get over there. That's in the Marquee Entertainment Center on I-10. It's a great place to watch it with the Liverpool friends. My good friend Peter's over there at 7620 Katy Freeway, Marquee Entertainment Center, 18 TVs, big screen. And there's going to be Liverpool supporters there tomorrow, no question. Wolves supporters. And we're going to give Nick's Place one free spot here. Wolves supporters will be over at Nick's Place for this big one tomorrow afternoon in the Premier League. All right, so a couple of other things going on in the world of soccer. Don't forget the CBA is going on, right? Collective bargaining agreement. And that is something of real interest and importance right now at this phase of Major League Soccer ascending. The current collective bargaining agreement ends at the end of this month on the 31st. The Major League Soccer season begins February 29th. What we know is that MLS and the MLS Players Association have met regularly now for a number of months. Nobody wants any sort of work stoppage here. It would be just a huge mistake if that were to happen. But there's a number of things that are on the table, and I'm just going to touch on two. $100,000 minimum salary, that's something that's, you know, desired right now. I mean, I think that's a big one. And then, you know, possibly doing away with, you know, the whole designated player category and these things. Now, what some of these changes could do, though, they could push some of the teams in MLS that are not as willing to invest to have to do more. So I think we're all going to keep an eye on this. We don't want any work stoppage. I don't see anything that would take us there. All right, we're going to take a break here. Rolling Stones are going to take us to break. Can't you hear me knocking? 713-780-3776. Time to take a break here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Well, a couple of things here. First of all, the show is presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And, of course, they are our presenting sponsors. Their personal injury attorneys are going to bring you a personalized approach, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual, whether you're getting a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, or refinery. Daspit Law Firm has you covered. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Get that representation you need. With John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. So pretty interesting opportunity for fans here in Houston to see the U.S. Women's National Team. They are in town. They are going to play in CONCACAF Olympic qualifying to go to Tokyo. They're going to start it off. They will take on Haiti. And that's coming up pretty quickly on the 28th of January. Then it's Panama, and then it is Costa Rica. The current roster is this. Goalkeeper Adriana French, Ashlyn Harris, Allison Nair. And by the way, Jane Campbell of the Houston Dash was in there and was in camp. I do believe her time is going to come. So we're looking forward to the day she can get a little bit more of a firm footing in the national team. Defenders, Abby Dalcomper, Crystal Dunn, Allie Krieger, Kelly O'Hara, Becky Sauerbrunn, just a wonderful study and consistency over the years. Emily Sonnet, midfielders, Julie Ertz, Lindsay Horan, Rose Lavelle, Samantha Mewis, Sam Mewis, Andy Sullivan, Tobin Heath, Carly Lloyd, Jessica McDonald, Kristen Press, Megan Rapinoe, and Lynn Williams. We're still efforting to get Megan Rapinoe on the show. So hopefully we'll get here on shortly. But this is the opportunity for you to see the women's national team. Look, these are important matches to go to the Olympics. But frankly, you know, I think with Haiti, Panama, and Costa Rica, our expectations should be the U.S. should roll over these teams. And nobody ever wants to be sounding as though they're disrespectful, but it is important. Okay, guys, I have something for you. If you can come in here, Trey. So that's the U.S. Women's National Team on the road to Tokyo, and it's coming up this week, and stars like Crystal Dunn and others are important. So we will check these games. I'm going to be down there at BBVA Compass Stadium this week myself, so your opportunity to get there as well. All right, tomorrow again, we mentioned it's Wolves taking on Liverpool. That's the Premier League match tomorrow. Today we saw Manchester United go down in a very rough fashion to Burnley at home. In Major League Soccer, the Montreal Impact, Thierry Henry, the manager, that's going to lead to excitement in the league, much like Chicharito finally being officially announced in Los Angeles. Now, Henry is unproven as a manager. He struggled mightily in France as a manager of Monaco. He lasted only a total of 3 months there. And they got to get it going early against Saprissa in the CONCACAF Champions League. All right, we've got Megan Rapinoe now. We're pleased to have her join the show. Megan, thank you very much for giving us some time here.
How's doing?
Yeah, doing good. Thanks for giving us some time. Welcome to Houston.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here, although it did rain all day, so I'm going to need an explanation for that.
Yeah.
Normally it comes with lightning and then short spurts, so we can kind of ride it out, but what's going on here?
Let's hope by the time we take on Haiti this coming week, things are going to get better. I think tomorrow's not going to be the best of days either. But let's get into it. I'm really interested to talk about your impressions of Zlatko Andonovski, because he is your club coach. He is the new manager. He's come in. He's already made tough decisions. Here we are already getting ready to qualify for the Olympics. And, you know, you've got intimate knowledge of him, having been on the club team, Rain FC. Talk about Zlatko.
I think it's been good so far. Obviously he had his first sort of big roster test and having to cut it down to a pretty small roster compared to the World Cup, and had to make some tough decisions there for sure. I feel like he's still kind of settling in a little bit. He hasn't He hasn't gotten real mad at us yet, but I'm sure that's coming at some point. But he has I've always loved that about him. He has such a good balance of just being brutally honest, but also, like, he's just such a good guy and enjoyable to be around. So I think everyone's enjoying training, enjoying kind of a different vibe, and getting to work as well.
U.S. national team star Megan Rapinoe joining us now. Isn't that the way you like it, though, as a player? You'd rather have somebody be honest with you than dance as a coach?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you start dancing with players, and then it's like, don't give us any room for improvisation in there. It's like, if you don't give it to us straight, then there's too much room for creativity. You'd much rather just kind of have it exactly how it is if you can back it up with film. Then it's kind of like, the argument's not really there, and you can actually get to what you want to be doing, which is getting better as a player individually, and then obviously you bring that all in as a team. And I think at this point, it's like, we're all professionals, we're all adults. Like, you know, a lot of us have been on the team for a long time. Like, we don't want any BS, and I think that just creates more problems, you know, in general. So he's got a good way of just kind of calling it right out, and then we can actually move forward and do what we're trying to do.
All right, so let me congratulate you on a day where Derek Jeter gets elected to the Hall of Fame. We got to remind people that you won the Ballon d'Or here in 2019, the number one female player in the world. I mean, how do you process that?
I don't know.
Are you still processing it, maybe?
I guess I just, you know, smile through it. You know, I'm so appreciative of my teammates and, you know, of the team and all the coaching staff and, you know, my club in Seattle, Reign FC, and the two, you know, in my opinion, brilliant coaches that I've had there. Like, I've been so lucky to be put in such an incredible position to just go out there and, you know, have fun and perform and do what I love to do. But obviously this summer was just a really special converging of all of these different worlds all at the same time for something, you know, that nobody expected. And it's just, it's been a thrill, to be honest. It's been crazy to be a part of and to be, you know, one of the key figures in bringing another championship home and all that came with that. It's just spectacular, to be honest.
She's Megan Rapinoe. By the way, Golden Ball, Golden Boot. They win the World Cup, pretty remarkable, and then she wins the Ballon d'Or as the female number one player in the world. In general, that was an amazing World Cup at all levels. I think we've seen other countries, their levels have elevated, they've accelerated. There were just so many wonderful games to watch from purely the soccer standpoint and the quality of play and everything. Are you as amazed as some of us on the outside as to how quickly some of these countries have put resources behind the game and have just grown exponentially in a short amount of time?
I don't know if surprised, because I feel like, you know, it's not like these teams and these federations like didn't have teams before, and now all of a sudden they do, and people are just picking up the game. Like, these women all over the world have been doing to the best of their ability, perfecting their craft and getting as good at the game as they possibly can and playing as much as they possibly can. You know, oftentimes very underfunded. I don't know what a lot of the club situations are like in some of these countries or how often players are playing. So to me, it's actually not surprising. Like, I feel like I see, you know, obviously, our team is probably the most well-funded and well-resourced team of all of the women's programs in the country. And I see how well we do and the type of talent that we had and how consistent that we are in teams like England and France and the likes, Germany. So it's not surprising to me. If anything, I'm like, we told you so. Like, you know, it's not like you have to spend, you know, 10 years developing a program. Like, these women are already playing, so just give them the best possible resources that you can and, you know, give them an opportunity to do their craft as a job. And, like, the World Cup was a perfect example of how far teams have come, and the quality on the field is just incredible.
All right, I'm not being disrespectful here, but Haiti, Panama, Costa Rica, they're not necessarily the triumphant trio of highly competitive teams. And I'm not being disrespectful to them, because you have to get past these teams to get to get to the Olympics. But how do you look at a tournament like this? Because what I've noticed about your team and all of you ladies is that, you know, you don't play down to the competition. And that is an art in itself sometimes.
It really is just part of the culture of this team and what it's always been. It's kind of, you know, never been about anyone else, whether we're, you know, playing the best team in the world, you know, next to us, or we're playing, you know, a team that is ranked 20 spots below us. For us, the focus is, like, what are we trying to do in the moment? So right now, obviously, we have, you know, the qualifiers. Like, these games will prepare us for the Olympics. So, like, if we can't just kind of be like, oh, yeah, we're going to show up to these games and kind of roll through these games, and then at some point we're going to turn it on. So for us, it's like that constant need and expectation that, like, it's always turned on, and you're always trying to get better, knowing, obviously, we have to qualify. That's the main goal out of these. But these are sort of, like, different types of games. And, yeah, maybe, you know, a Haiti isn't as good as, you know, another team in the world that would sit in a low block. But there are teams in the world that would sit in a low block against us. And, like, if we're not taking this game seriously and working on the skills that we need to and the game plan that we need to in these games, like, once it comes to games maybe against, you know, a higher-ranked team or a harder team, like, we're not going to be prepared to play those games either. So we kind of all look at it as, like, what are we trying to do? This year we're trying to win the Olympics. So everything is focused on what do we need to do, what kind of cards do we need to add to our deck and have in our deck, so that when we get to the Olympics, hopefully, knock on wood, we qualify, then we're totally prepared to take on all those challenges.
She's Megan Rapinoe. She's a Ballon d'Or winner, number one female player in the world. She's in town with the United States national team. USsoccer.com for tickets. Haiti on the 28th, Panama the 31st, Costa Rica on the 3rd. Are there players on the team now also with the coaching change in this tournament saying, look, I got to establish myself to a new manager here?
For sure. I mean, I think honestly, everyone. I mean, I think, you know, even me, it's like, you know, maybe I feel a little bit more comfortable because I'm a veteran on the team, or I've had Blacko for a couple of years. But also, knowing Blacko, I'm like, he's not going to do any favors to anyone. He has a job, you know, one job, and that's to pick the best team and field the best team they possibly can and, you know, win the Olympics, basically. And I think he's not going to let anyone get in his way of achieving his first major championship. So I think in the same sense that players who maybe didn't get a lot of time under Jill, they're like, okay, fresh start. And for players who did get a lot of time, it's like, you need to stay at the top of your game and make sure that you're still bringing to the team what you always have and trying to improve your game every day.
Megan, are there any subtle differences that you know, you can reveal that will look maybe a little bit different with this squad under Vlatko, either personnel or maybe even subtly tactically?
I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of personnel. Obviously, this tournament, we've got a smaller roster, and there's, you know, games basically stacked up back-to-back for a number of games in a row. So I think you'll probably see, you know, most, if not all, of the roster, maybe the exception of the goalkeepers. They don't really switch around too much. Tactically, I think you will. I think you'll see a little bit more fluid movement, or a little bit more sophistication in movement, and hopefully a little more combination play around the box. I think, you know, in the past we've done a really good job of getting there, and obviously we're a pretty high-octane team and getting up and down the field and, you know, a ton of, you know, pace and creativity from our wide players and from our forwards, but hopefully looking to get a little bit more combinations around the box and break teams down a little bit more that way.
We're looking forward to seeing the U.S. Women's National Team here with Megan Rapinoe. It's great that we get to host three of their games right here in Houston at BBVA Stadium. This is great. Just a last question for you, and this one's around the NWSL and the growth of it. What is your take overall on the league, where it is, and maybe pick out an area or two that you want to see improve as Megan Rapinoe?
I mean, I think we're on the right path. Obviously, we're heading in, I think it's our eighth season that we're heading into. I mean, I think for me, the biggest area is corporate sponsorship. You're going to have to have those bigger dollars behind the league. Not only in ownership groups, you're going to need bigger, you know, bigger pocketed ownership groups or deeper pocketed ownership groups. And you've seen that, obviously, with OL coming in. Utah seems to be that way. Portland seems to be that way, and others. But I think from a league perspective, the big corporate sponsorships to help fund the league, but also just to, you know, not only have that revenue coming in, but just to get that broader reach as well. You know, you see Budweiser connected with the league. That just, you know, gives it a sense of legitimacy that I think we need more of. So it was honestly a little bit disappointing after the World Cup. I think we only had one major sponsor, which was shout out to Budweiser for getting behind the league. But I think we need more of that to get more eyes on it and to start to almost like that brand recognition, you know, putting bigger brands along with the NWSL brand and hopefully continuing to grow and put people in the seats and get people watching online and on TV as well.
Megan, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. We're excited the U.S. Women's National Team and you were here in Houston, and we look forward to the opening game on the 28th against Haiti. Thanks for your time tonight.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me. I'll see, see everybody at the, is it BBVA? Is that what it is? BBVA?
BBVA Stadium.
Right.
That's it.
We'll see everyone there.
You've played there before. You know that.
Yeah. A couple times.
A few times. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. It'll be familiar surroundings for you.
Definitely.
Oh, thank you so much again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, Bye-bye. That's Megan Rapinoe, U.S. Women's National Team. Golden ball, golden boot, U.S. win the World Cup. And the Ballon d'Or female, the male side of it was Lionel Messi. So she was standing up there with Lionel Messi. New coach, Vlatko Andonovsky. They'll be expected to roll over Haiti, Panama, and Costa Rica. And as you heard Megan say, okay, you might run into some low blocks defensively. There is a gap of competition in CONCACAF. I don't think there's any question. If you like a little sort of gothic rock and roll, Peter Murphy. This is a really cool song called Deep Ocean, Vast Sea. Former lead singer of Bauhaus.
Yeah, I remember Peter
Murphy.
You knew
Bauhaus? You weren't even born.
Yeah, it was a little bit before my time.
You weren't even born, Trey. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to roll on. We still have some great interviews to go tonight with Matt Jordan, with Oliver Luck of the XFL, and much, much more. Show again presented by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. You get in an accident. We don't want that to happen. But car, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, the Daspit Law Firm will cover you. They'll work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. DaspitLaw.com. They are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5.